This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
Hi, everybody. It's Molly here, popping in all by myself to say that I am going to be teaching a writing workshop coming up soon. It's going to be on April 11th. That's a Sunday, from 12 noon to 2:30 p.m. Pacific. And it's called Taking Happiness Seriously, An Approach to Writing Emotion. It is for writers of all kinds, even people who feel shy about calling themselves writers. And I'm going to be talking about an approach that I use to try to get real life emotion onto the page in a way that feels vibrant and true. So join me if you'd like to. To sign up, just go to mollyweisenberg.com/shop. So that's mollyweisenberg.com/shop. Hopefully I'll see you on April 11th. Thanks.
I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
This is our third time recording the intro, and we finally have a lot of energy.
Yeah, I've been pounding Red Bulls, Monsters. We already did an energy drink show. This isn't it, but like, I drank some pretend imaginary energy drinks.
Well, and nothing makes me feel as energetic as today's show topic, which is chicken nuggets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that what they're referring to when they say dank nugs?
I've never heard that. I mean, I've heard dank, but I've never heard dank nugs.
I think it's a chicken nugget.
Are those
thing.
Like weed? Buds, weed berries.
Those I think they're weed berries.
Chunks.
Yes, yeah. My favorite available
your favorite
only
grain.
In Seattle breakfast cereal.
Weed berries. Okay. All right, Matthew. It is 9:46 in the morning when we're recording this. Do you have any chicken nuggets nearby?
I don't have any chicken nuggets nearby, but I want to tell you about Comedy Week on Stitcher. Is that a good segue?
Yes, yes. This is perfect.
They are celebrating our show and many other hilarious podcasts for April Fool's. No tricks, just treats. You can listen to Spilled Milk and many, many other great comedy shows. Discover some new obsessions for free on Stitcher.
And here's how it works. You can check out their curated homepage to find your next comedy podcast obsession. So like Comedy Bang Bang, How Did This Get Made? And you can listen to them ad-free.
Yep, for $4.99 a month or $34.99 a year, you can use the code Spilled Milk to sign up for Stitcher Premium and get our show ad-free, all those other shows ad-free. That's at stitcher.com/premium. And it's not valid on in-app purchases. Don't you love being curated? I love it when we get curated.
I do too. Especially
when we get curated like in a like an old-fashioned curating shack with a little smoke.
Yes. Old-fashioned curated
shack. So dumb. Let's talk about chicken nuggets. How about it?
Okay. So Matthew, here we are. We're doing chicken nuggets. Was this suggested by someone?
I think it was suggested by me. I think it was a thing on a previous episode where I'm like, I can't believe we've never done chicken nuggets. And you were like, I don't know.
Yeah. So, you know, usually one of us does the research for any given episode. Today, we really split it up and we emphasized our strengths.
Yeah, I think you did most of it, though.
I went deep on the corporate research and Matthew threw in a few things about
exactly.
eating. and cooking. Anyway, but yeah, so today we're talking about chicken nuggets, which I think most of us think of as primarily like an industrial food.
Yeah.
But I actually, I was intrigued to learn more about them and think about how, like, I have actually encountered many a chicken nugget that I enjoy.
Aha. Yeah, it's not just dinosaurs.
I don't even, you wrote that on the agenda and I was like, what are you even talking about?
Okay, we'll get there.
Okay.
All right, let's go down memory lane. Did you eat chicken nuggets as a child? I imagine this as being a thing your mom would not let you eat.
No, I was allowed to eat this. So here's the thing. When I was a kid, we didn't really go to McDonald's. My mom preferred Wendy's, I think because, do you remember the period of time when they had a baked potato bar and stuff? And yeah, we more often went to Wendy's. And at Wendy's, I would always get, you know, like the kids' meal. However, at some point in childhood, I got the opportunity to go to McDonald's, or like we broke the seal on McDonald's and we started going. And it was years before I ever had a burger at McDonald's because all I ever ordered at McDonald's was the chicken nugget.
Okay, yeah.
And I would always get, what was this? Is the smallest size? Was it 4-piece, 6-piece?
Oh, boy.
Oh, the smallest is 4.
Is it 4? I was going to say 5, but like I remember it's like the progression of sizes was kind of unexpected, right?
Yeah, we're going to say more about that in a minute. And it seems to me that as a kid or like an adolescent, I would have gotten the 4-piece, but for some reason the phrase 6-piece chicken nugget just comes rolling right off my tongue.
It does sound good.
I must have gotten the 6-piece chicken nugget, and I would always get it with honey for dipping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think somebody told me that was like the way to do it. And I was the kind of kid who, if you told me it was the way to do it, that's how I would do it.
That makes sense. Now, can we name all the dipping sauces off the top of our head?
Absolutely not. I only ever had honey.
Because there was honey. Was there also honey mustard?
I want to say that there was.
There's barbecue. There's sweet and sour. Is that might be it? Like most people listening, I think, know the answer and are going to be very disappointed in us.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
It does seem like there should be something creamy, like a ranch dressing situation, but that would be best with like a spicy nugget.
Yeah,
or say
I agree.
A wing.
Which we'll get to, I think. Yeah.
I think. Yeah. So what about you, Matthew? Were there many chicken nuggets in your childhood?
Kind of. So I don't remember, honestly, whether they were not one of my favorites as a kid. I did not like chicken McNuggets, which I know makes me like that's even weirder than not liking ketchup as a kid. Like something about them. I'm still not a big fan of chicken McNuggets. I don't know what it is.
No, I have a very vivid memory. And I should say McDonald's really was the only place I ever ate chicken nuggets. I have a very vivid memory of like getting a little like gristly mouthful that like wouldn't chew.
So I remember when Burger King introduced chicken tenders, which like we can argue, and I think we are going to argue like viciously about whether chicken strips are chicken nuggets. Chicken tenders may be a little more on the chicken strip end of the spectrum, but I thought they were much better than McNuggets.
I think that I thought that anything that wasn't a McNugget was just sort of like a sad, like second generation, like watered down.
Yeah, I mean, because like I think frozen nuggets, like Costco frozen nuggets, like started to become a thing around the same time we would have been discovering our nuggets.
How old were you when you discovered your nugget?
I don't know. They're just like, I guess kind of from the time they descended.
You have two of them?
Yes. Yeah. I got the 2-pack. We discovered about the smallest sizes.
Okay. This is one of our dumbest bits
but they're more,
ever.
They're more strip shaped, which is unusual.
What do you mean strip shaped? Like, do you have to strip to get to them?
Yeah, sure, I guess.
Okay.
So then eventually I tried the Wendy's chicken nuggets. I think those are the best.
You just brought it right back. Okay. But I've never had Wendy's chicken nuggets. Seriously, I really think I thought this was only a thing that could exist at McDonald's.
But haven't you gotten the 4 for $4 at Wendy's?
Absolutely not. I only get like a cheeseburger at Wendy's.
Okay.
That's all I ever get.
Cause, like,
and a Frosty.
I, I feel like if I start talking about the 4 for $4, it's going to sound like this episode was sponsored by Wendy's, which unfortunately it was not.
Wait but a minute. Like, hold on. What's the 4 for $4?
The 4 for $4 is the greatest and most terrible achievement of capitalism. Because if for $4, you get like a small burger of your choice, which can be like a bacon cheeseburger, I think. 4 nuggets, small fries, and a drink which you can substitute a Frosty at no additional charge.
This is amazing.
It's amazing.
And I don't want to eat a burger and chicken nuggets.
Yeah,
in the
no,
same
that's
meal.
My thought every time I order it, and then I get it, and then I eat all those nuggets.
What about all the burger and all the fries?
I think I kind of eat everything, yeah.
Okay,
and then I'm kind of good for the day.
Okay. All right. So hold on. Let's just get right into it here.
Like,
what are chicken nuggets?
And why?
Okay. So, Matthew, this is going to answer like a lot of the questions that you wrote into the agenda about the definition and like the lines between chicken nuggets and other chicken things.
I'm so happy about that.
Here we go. A chicken nugget is a small piece of deboned chicken that is breaded or battered, then deep fried, or apparently sometimes baked, but I don't know who does that. Of course, it's most popular in the world of fast food. It's also sold as like a frozen food for home use. But let's talk really quick. I want to talk about like chicken nugget history. But first, I want to talk about how they're made.
Yes, please. Do I want to know?
Well, we'll get into like, you know, the Frankenstein version of these in a minute. But at its most basic, the idea of a chicken nugget is just deboned meat. But there are 3 different ways of deboning meat.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
So you could either do it manually. With a knife.
Okay.
Okay.
That's probably not how nuggets are done.
There are also machines that do it with like a series of automatic blades, which is kind of cool to imagine.
That is pretty cool.
Like that would cut up the chicken and then like turn different cuts in different ways to remove the bones.
Has Wolverine ever been hired to debone chicken?
Is that like a construction company? Like, or do you mean the animal?
No, keep going. No, I want to hear more guesses about what Wolverine is.
Well, I'm thinking like, you know, like the companies that make like excavators and dump trucks and stuff.
I was thinking Wolverine, the comic book X-Man.
Oh.
Who's like a guy with claws.
Okay.
Like a claw. He's one of your...
What about Edward Scissorhands?
Guys. That's a good point. Edward Scissorhands is kind of the original Wolverine, except probably Wolverine predated Edward Scissorhands.
I almost referred to him as Johnny Scissorhands for some reason. That was just the name that came up for me first.
Yeah, okay. No, like Ed Wolverine, like Edward Scissorhands, like Johnny Scissor Penis would all they have a support group for like people with blades.
And okay. Wait, I'm not done with the 3.
Oh, I know. But we made it through 2 of them, and that's good enough.
Okay.
No, let's hear the third one.
Matthew, so repeat for me. What have we learned? What is one way of deboning chicken?
Okay, one way is manually with a knife.
Okay.
One way is Wolverine, a.k.a. a machine with blades.
Okay. The third way is by grinding. So you can imagine, like, you just put the whole thing in the grinder, and, like, the stuff that cannot be ground apparently won't pass through the plate. But this seems really frightening to me.
It's definitely like, you know, a like how the sausage is made kind of scenario.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so if grinding is the method, of course, then the resulting like meat paste has to be shaped back into a nugget.
But
of course, you know, if it's done manually or with Edward Scissorhands, then you wind up with something that's more like a strip or like a tender, right? Like something that you could actually produce in your own kitchen.
Oh, so that's the one where it's not ground.
Correct.
Okay.
I mean, I think most of the time what we encounter in like the fast food context, we think of as being like made from meat paste.
Yeah,
because of
I
all
think
those
so.
Horror videos about McDonald's, which we'll get back to in a minute. But
okay.
But yeah, so basically, I do think that chicken nuggets, chicken tenders, chicken strips, all these things, I think, are the same thing. But I think that some people choose the word that they use to maybe try to point us thinking in the direction of like a higher class, fancier, just like deboned piece of chicken as opposed to meat paste.
Oh, I think it works. Like, I definitely think of a chicken tender as being higher class than a chicken nugget. But like, I'm just falling for their PR.
Well, and also you can buy chicken tenders like at the butcher shop, you know?
Yes.
So
right.
it feels like it's closer to the actual animal that it came from, even though in truth it's just encountered a few fewer blades.
Yes, but may have like it may have passed through the hands of Edward Scissorhands and Wolverine on its way to your plate.
It might have. One can never say. So hold on. I think that like to sort of get to how we got here.
Yes. I think we got here on some sort of excavator.
Let's talk about, do you remember the episode when we were flying around in a dumpster?
I do. I don't remember what episode that was.
Sometime in 2020. But... Okay, anyway, let's talk about when these became like a thing.
I'm going to guess the 80s.
So you're close. It was actually the late 70s.
Okay.
When they became like sort of a mass market thing. But interestingly enough, and I do think this is kind of interesting. You know, I love the old like corporate history.
Yes, I do too.
So chicken nuggets as like a concept of like a food product that could be battered and fried and then frozen and distributed.
Mm-hmm.
Like the product itself was invented in the 50s. Now, I'm not saying that like prior to that, nobody had ever battered and fried a piece of chicken. That's not what I'm saying. But like as an industrial product that we know as a chicken nugget.
So you're saying before that, nobody ever battered and fried a piece of chicken.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You have been listening. So according to Wikipedia, there was this guy named Robert C. Baker, who was a food science professor at Cornell. And he was the one who invented the mechanism that made it possible to like mass produce what we now know as the chicken nugget.
So chicken nuggets have an Ivy League pedigree.
Yes. In fact, according to Wikipedia, whatever this phrase means, he published his version of the chicken nugget as an unpatented academic work.
Okay.
It never occurred to me to do this kind of work when I was in academia.
Like to do like weird chicken experiments?
Yeah, I just never thought of it. So many missed opportunities.
Yeah, no, you could have been like a principal chicken investigator.
I could have been. Anyway, he called it a chicken crispy.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So apparently around this time, the meat industry was trying to figure out how to make something like what we now know as the chicken nugget. But they were having trouble on two fronts. They were having trouble like getting the meat to clump without some sort of like a casing or a skin.
Okay.
And then also producing a batter that could be both deep fried and frozen without like detaching from the meat clump.
I get where they're coming from because like I've had like a coating detach in the kitchen. It sounds like this is a setup for a bit, but like actually
it's real.
It's just really gross when that happens and upsetting.
He came up with some innovations which honestly seem like just good food science. He came up with some innovations that solved both problems. So in order to make the meat hold together, he coated it in vinegar, salt, grains, and some milk powder.
Okay.
To like kind of like making a meatball, frankly. Like,
yeah.
It seems like he just used some like binding stuff. And then he used an egg and grain-based batter, which sounds to me like any batter.
That's kind of what a batter is.
Right? That could be fried as well as frozen. Anyway, thank you, Robert C. Baker.
His name was Robert C. Baker, but it seems like he was more of a fryer than a
right?
baker.
Right? Right?
Yeah. Really makes you think.
Yeah. Then we really get into corporate history, which is that I think that the nugget really became what it is today. When McDonald's brought out the McNugget.
Okay, when was that?
The recipe was developed in the late 70s for what is known as Chicken McNuggets, which is its own recipe. And it was launched into select markets in 1981 and then kind of became, I saw that it went to Canada in 1984 and I assume sort of, you know, spread out from there. Anyway, so yeah, Matthew, you and I have grown up in the age of the McNugget. We are
substantially made of McNuggets. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And what I find really fascinating and weird about the McNugget is, as I learned from researching this episode, their nuggets come in four shapes. Are you ready?
Yes, I've heard this before and always forget.
Okay, the bell, the bow tie, the ball, and the boot. So these shapes were reportedly chosen because McDonald's claims that they are the perfect equilibrium of, oh my God, dipability, which my autocorrect changed to disability.
Yeah.
No. They are the perfect equilibrium of dipability and fun. Three would have been too few, and five would have been like wacky. So, Matthew, I found a picture out there on the interweb of the four shapes, although what appears to be maybe the bow tie shape here is
called
the
bone
shape. These, to me, just look like...
No, I think you could
nuggets.
Go, like, if you didn't know about this, you could, like, go through your whole life casually munching nuggets and not notice that, like, there are only four fundamental shapes.
I'm struggling. I mean, so now that I learned this, I do remember eating one of the ones that is technically boot shaped.
Me too. That's the outlier, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to miss that one because it's got this like Italy thing going on. Like it's really got a little heel.
Yes. No, it's definitely.
Or a toe.
It's got a whole Italy thing going on. Like it's called one country, but it's really like a lot of like autonomous regions with their own history and culture.
I remember dipping the Puglia in my honey.
Yes, exactly. I remember the you got to really get in on that Basilicata. It's got a little peppery like red peppery kick.
Oh God, I really really love the way that Emilia Romagna, is it Emilia Romagna or Emilia mm-hmm. Romana? Yeah, Emilia Romagna, it tastes with barbecue sauce.
Yeah. it makes sense because Emilia Romagna of all the regions of Italy goes through the most barbecue sauce.
Anyway,
they're partial to sweet baby Ray's.
Okay, so wait, Matthew, but look at these shapes. So
I'm staring at them right now. I can't look away.
Are like not that different. Like if you turned the ball like 45 degrees to the left, it would just look like a bell.
Well, and they're only one letter, one vowel different.
I feel
like I'm high right now.
Oh,
I'm not.
This is so fun. Anyway, yeah, so I did not really know this, but I mean, I get it. Like, although I think if I had to choose one, I would just keep eating the boot over and over and over again.
I agree.
The boot is the
ideal
dipping
off the little, what is the point of the boot? No, not the point as in like the goal, but in Italy, like, because the Puglia is the heel of the boot, right?
Heading,
is Campania the toe of the boot?
Maybe.
All right, I'm sorry, I have to
I've
I have
been
to
both
this.
Regions,
I
but I can't tell you. Does Puglia extend all the way down to the
Calabria.
Tip of the heel?
Calabria.
Calabria
is the toe of the boot.
And then
Puglia is the heel.
Okay. Does Puglia go all the way to like the Vibram sole of the heel?
No, that's Basilicata.
That's what I thought. I did not, because Puglia is a little higher on the heel.
Okay. So no. Puglia goes all the way down to the sole of the heel and like kind of up the back of the shoe. Boot.
Oh, okay. Okay, yes.
And then Basilicata is like the arch.
Got it. Okay, so Basilicata would be on the Mediterranean side, and Puglia is on the Aegean. No, the.
Oh no! I just closed the map.
Oh my God!
Oh no! I'm sorry. This is so important to this episode, so I need to pull this back up. Okay, just a minute.
What sea is that over there?
The Adriatic. Puglia is on the Adriatic.
God. I almost said Aegean, and I was like, that's wrong.
So Calabria is on the Ionian Sea on the south side, or the east side, and the Tyrrhenian Sea on the west side, which is part of the Mediterranean. They're both part of the Mediterranean.
Got it.
And Basilicata is on the Gulf. The insole, the arch area forms the Gulf of Toronto. Toronto. Okay. Not Toronto.
Not Canada?
No.
Where's Ontario?
Ontario is in Eastern Oregon and Southern California. We went to Ontario for our retreat.
Oh, it's also in Canada.
Yeah.
God, I just served that right to you, dude. You were just talking about Toronto.
Yes, I know. I know Ontario's in Canada.
This is our worst episode yet. Okay. Anyway.
I'm mad now. I'm going to Wolverine out.
I totally would dip my Puglia in honey. No, I already used that joke, Matthew. I was just bringing it back.
No, I know.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
This episode is brought to you by Masterclass.
Matthew, this weekend I took a class from somebody who I bet you admire as much as I do.
Okay, let me see it. Let me see if I can guess who that is. Denzel Washington.
No, so close though.
Okay.
Margaret Atwood.
Okay, yeah, very similar.
Yes. So Margaret Atwood, she has a series of 23 classes on Masterclass.
23 classes.
23 classes. And I only had time, honestly, to watch two of them. But one of the ones that I watched was about how she chose to do the, to write The Handmaid's Tale in first person, where she wrote Alias Grace from multiple points of view.
Wow.
And so it was so interesting to listen to her talk about like the feeling that she wanted the book to have and why a story should be told from this perspective or that one. Anyway, even though I'm a writer and I teach writing, I think this stuff would be fascinating even to people who just read the book. It was so great.
Yeah, I mean, Masterclass is for you. If you're like me, a bit of a prima donna, and you're like, I want to learn something, but I only want to learn from the best, you go to Masterclass. You can you know, learn to think like a boss with Martha Stewart. You can learn to shoot three-pointers with Steph Curry. Like, if you imagine the person who's best at the thing you want to learn, they are probably already on Masterclass teaching how to do it.
That is accurate. And plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So, like, zero risk here. If you are a lifelong learner, and we certainly hope you are,
if you're a lifelong learner, why are you listening to this show? Instead, head over to Masterclass for an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Can we just go back to this question of, like, the pink slime?
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
I mean, this
so that's like the machine where they grind it up with the bones and remove the bones. So
yeah.
Is the pink slime something other than just, like, super finely ground chicken meat with the bones sort of sieved out?
Well, I think that maybe – I'm guessing here because I did not go deep on the pink slime investigative trail. I had enough of that when I was, like, in middle school.
Yeah, sure.
But I venture to guess that there are, like, preservatives and things in there that make it that color.
Oh, and,
right?
And, like, additional fat, for sure. Like,
yes.
Like, 'cause a whole chicken is not that fatty, but,
well, correct.
But a chicken nugget is.
Well, and, you know, surprising no one, a study in the American Journal of Medicine analyzed the composition of chicken nuggets from two American fast food chains. They found that less than half of the material was skeletal muscle, so muscle being what we usually eat of chicken, right?
Sure.
With fat occurring in an equal or greater proportion. Other components included.
I mean, that sounds pretty good to me.
Right? Like well-marbled beef. Okay.
Yeah.
Other components included epithelial tissue, bone, nervous tissue, and connective tissue. The authors concluded that chicken nuggets are mostly fat, and their name is a misnomer. I don't know. I mean, nugget
I don't
can
know.
Mean fat. Like, you can have a nugget of gold. Why can't you have a nugget of fat?
Yeah, absolutely.
Matthew, hold on. Let's just go a little further into, like, the weird things about chicken nuggets.
I will go as far down the nugget hole as you're willing to take me.
Okay, okay. There's a person named Thomas Wellborn. I love the name.
It's a funny name.
Okay. Who holds the world record for eating chicken nuggets.
Okay.
42 chicken nuggets. That's 746 grams in 3 minutes. So 3 minutes,
yeah.
42 nuggets. Honestly, I was a little surprised that it wasn't more than that.
Hmm. Well, I mean, it's like the 3 minute cutoff. Because that makes it really, like, more about speed than capacity.
No, that's not what I'm saying. But I am. Yeah, I guess you're right. Okay.
I mean, because obviously he was still hungry after that.
Okay.
How many chicken nuggets do you think you could eat? Like, I think I once listened to an episode of maybe the Doughboys podcast where they did, like, a chicken nugget power hour where they were trying to eat one nugget per minute for an hour, which is a bad idea. I think I could eat, like, eight, maybe.
Are we talking about like McDonald's chicken nuggets, or are we talking about
or like nuggets of that size?
I could definitely do 6 or 8, easy.
Okay.
Big time. Okay, Matthew, let's talk about the largest recorded chicken nugget.
Okay.
Picture
this. Is this like the largest nugget that was like an accident, like an oops all nugget accident at the McNugget factory, where like some kid opened up like the 4-pack and it was 3 regular sized ones and like one like 16-pound like nugget tumor?
No, you are way lowballing here, because the largest recorded chicken nugget weighed 51.1 pounds. It was 3.25 feet long and 2 feet wide, and it was unveiled at Kosher Fest in Secaucus, New Jersey in 2013.
The thing is, when you say largest recorded, that makes it sound like it was some sort of natural phenomenon, right?
I know, right? Like at a McDonald's in Secaucus, New Jersey, like somebody was frying nuggets, turned away for a second and turned back, and they had all fused together into one 51-pound nugget.
It sounds like it was one of those like miracles where like they're like you see like the Virgin Mary's face on a nugget.
Yes.
So I assume that the giant Kosher Fest nugget was kosher, right?
Assuming so. I don't know why else it would be at Kosher Fest.
Right. Well, I mean, it might have like interloped.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Do you think it grew legs and walked in?
Yeah.
Matthew, so wait a minute. We've been talking all about fast
Sorry, I have to go back to the world's largest nugget. Did they like cut it up? Okay, first of all, did people eat it? I hope so. I don't want it to go to waste. Like, did they cut it up into like regular nugget sized pieces? If so, were they boot shaped? And if not, did they just like ring a bell and then like a bunch of people just like ran in like the Oklahoma land rush and just started gnawing on this nugget until it was gone? And if so, is that on YouTube?
The thing is, like, imagine if you cut it up. I mean, this thing is 2 by 3 feet.
Yeah,
so it'd be mostly like eating a meatball.
Unbreaded meat.
Yeah, like an unseasoned meatball.
Yeah, this sounds bad.
This sounds terrible. I'm glad I wasn't there for
not,
it.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, hold on. Actually, I was going to steer us away from fast food nuggets.
Okay.
But first, I do want to talk about the number of nuggets that one can order.
Please.
So McDonald's describes their chicken McNuggets as small pieces of reconstituted boneless chicken. Wait, is this really what they describe?
I don't know. There was a lawsuit and they have to.
Small pieces of reconstituted boneless chicken meat that have been battered and deep fried. Okay, so the portion sizes that you can order, they vary by country. And in the U.S., they come in packs of 4, 6, 10, 20, and 50 in selected stores, which they market for things like the Super Bowl and whatever.
Okay.
In some other markets, they come in 4, 6, 9, or 20.
I remember 9, I feel like.
Fascinated by this. Like, how did they decide, like, ooh, let's do 9 in this market and 10 in this market? Like, did they do focus groups? Like, 9 is considered a lucky number in this country, or...
I bet it was something like that. That this sounds like the product of like intense marketing research.
Huh.
And also they wanted to be able to sort of say 69.
Yeah, they did. They did. Okay. Well, anyway, I think that's all I really need
you
to say.
You know what this reminds me of is like Munchkins. Are those the ones at Dunkin' Donuts? The donut holes that you can
yeah.
get like in boxes, like a box of like 10, 20, like 50 or 100. And like the really big box just seems so appealing to me, even though like after like 4 donut holes, I'm kind of done.
Mm-hmm. I get that. Maybe for our next corporate retreat, we'll get like, you know, the 100
that.
Pack or something.
No, I mean, I think I would be happy just to get like the 20.
Okay, cool. So, Matthew, I think we've reached the end of my portion of the show. Can we talk about like chicken tenders or like nugget format chicken meat that we've encountered maybe in like non-fast food contexts?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you introduced our my favorite segment, nugget format chicken meat we have encountered. So when I was thinking about chicken nuggets, I asked myself, like, is chicken karaage chicken nuggets? And I think it is.
I think it absolutely is.
So it's karaage is a Japanese fried chicken preparation where you cut up boneless chicken meat into chunks. Mm-hmm. You marinate it, you bread it, and you fry it, and usually serve it with a squeeze of lemon.
That's a nugget.
That's a nugget, and it's a delicious nugget. Like, it's like very lightly breaded compared to the nuggets we've been talking about. It's usually just tossed in starch, cornstarch, or potato starch, something like that.
I was gonna ask how it's breaded. Is it dipped? Is there egg involved?
There is not.
Okay.
So usually it's marinated in you know, like with like soy sauce and ginger, something like that. And so then you've got like this wet marinated chicken chunk that you then just toss with a pretty substantial amount of starch and then fry.
God. Oh my God.
But like good karaage is so good.
It's so good.
And it stays hot. Like, I mean, it's good cold like all fried chicken is, and nuggets are not, right?
Well, I think that, yeah, once again, like I don't want to eat a fast food nugget cold because the texture of the like industrially ground nugget meat is like challenging at best.
Right.
I mean, there's so all that epithelial tissue in there.
Oh, boy. and then that got me thinking of, like, I've definitely had, like, nugget format Korean fried chicken. Like, you know, I've been to, like, a Korean place where I got the Korean fried chicken, and it was boneless, and it was served in kind of nugget shape.
You know, I'm thinking about Hunan, the Chinese restaurant of my youth. I'm just thinking about, like, I can picture a platter of their sweet and sour chicken.
Yes.
That was basically, like, a much more delicious version of nuggets.
Yes.
Oh,
exactly.
My God.
Now,
why do we only associate, well, I guess chicken nuggets is an industrial product, but breaded and fried pieces of deboned chicken show up all over the place. I mean,
right.
Obviously.
We cannot forget to talk about dinosaurs, by the way.
Okay, what about dinosaurs?
Because then we're going to get back to non-fast food nuggets, because there's one other thing that we need to talk about that's very important. But, like, this, it's definitely still exists, and, like, you can get it at Costco. I think like, Dino Buddies is one of the brands. It's chicken nuggets in dinosaur shape.
I bet they all look like the boot.
Yeah, I bet they all look like the boot, if the boot is like a stegosaurus.
Yes. Do they have any that are brontosauruses, like with a really long neck?
Yes.
That'd
but
be
they,
so
they
good
to,
for dipping.
They had to rebrand them as Apatosaurus and then back to brontosaurus.
Wait a minute. Are we back to brontosaurus? I forgot about Apatosaurus.
I think brontosaurus is back, baby.
Really?
I think
so.
Oh,
man,
I
got to catch up on this.
Yeah, because like, weren't you so mad when they said it wasn't brontosaurus?
Yeah, because I mean, some of the only dinosaurs that are widely known by like just random people are like brontosaurus, T Rex, maybe Stegosaurus, Triceratops,
Velociraptor, but only after Jurassic Park came out.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool, actually, how Jurassic Park was like, this is going to be your first, this dinosaur you've never heard of is going to be your new favorite dinosaur.
Yes.
And it worked.
It totally worked. What about the old pterodactyl? Do people talk about pterodactyls anymore?
I think, among my...
Wait a minute. They got their names changed, too. It's like Pterodon.
Oh, no. Really?
I think.
Oh, okay.
Hold on.
Because, like, it turned out they did... Wait. Because a don is a tooth, right?
Hold
and a
on.
Dactyl is like a finger.
Oh, wait a minute. Pterodactyl.
God, this is so important for us to share this.
Pterodactyl is the common term for the winged reptiles properly called pterosaurs.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Scientists typically avoid using the term and concentrate on individual genera? Genera?
Genera, yeah.
Genera.
Oh, because there was
Pteranodon. And Pterodon.
Okay.
Pteranodon.
Pteranodon is like a big pterodactyl.
I left out a syllable in there, but it seems like they're different things. Pteranodon pterodactyl.
I wish I could meet dinosaurs. That would be so cool.
Like, God, I just looked at this picture of one that just came up in my Google images, and for a second I thought it was real because it had been like photoshopped onto a backdrop of like what looked like the California coast.
Wait, you thought it was real, like someone really took a photo of a dinosaur?
Well, just for a second, like it really looked like a photo, and I got really hopeful. But
because like a chicken is technically a dinosaur to bring things back around, right?
Oh yes. So maybe that's why they made like dino nuggets or whatever they're called.
Exactly. But I guess, and these became a thing like in the 90s that was like used as like a cudgel to criticize moms. Like, you let your kid eat like dinosaur shaped chicken nuggets all day long. Like, what kind of parent are you?
Huh.
It got stirred into the misogynistic stew.
I love a good dinosaur nugget in my stew.
Yes, but like, I mean, everything's pretty fucked anyway. Couldn't we just do Jurassic Park?
You mean like we've already tried all kinds of other bad ideas? Like, let's make a real Jurassic Park?
Yes, exactly. Like, would a real Jurassic Park be like among the 10 worst things going on right now?
Absolutely
not. I don't think so.
No.
And like, it would be so cool.
It would be so cool.
If I was like in an outhouse and got eaten by a T-Rex, like I would love that. Like that would be the best way to go.
I would totally sacrifice my little glass of water to put it on the dashboard
exactly.
and watch it tremble.
Yep, that is so good of you.
Okay, hold on. Back to non-fast food wings. Let's go fast food adjacent. Let's go to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Let's go to Buffalo Wild Wings. Should that be the first restaurant we go back to, like, post-pandemic? Maybe.
Maybe. Wait, didn't we get, like, giant margaritas or something there?
Yeah.
Or, like, is that what we got? That seems so random with nuggets. I mean, with wings?
It's good.
No, but that's what we got? Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, because margaritas are, like, a sports bar thing, and Buffalo Wild Wings is sort of a sports bar. But, like, they're certainly not bad together.
That's true. Okay.
Anyway, so like if you go to a wing place, they're going to have boneless wings.
That's just
and
a
like
nugget.
These are nuggets, right?
That's a nugget. Yeah. Yeah.
They haven't like painstakingly deboned a wing, but even if they did, that would still be a nugget.
Yes, absolutely.
And they're very tasty. Like the boneless wings of Buffalo Wild Wings are great.
Oh, they're delicious. Oh God, Matthew, I miss old times.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Well, let's we could talk about dipping sauces, but I feel like I'm done with nuggets.
Yeah, I like the barbecue sauce.
I don't know what I like anymore.
All right, let's go into our segments then.
Okay.
I mean, we already did our first segment, nugget-like chicken products you may have encountered, something like that.
Wait a minute, I thought you were playing Duck Duck Goose there for a second.
nugget. Have you ever had goose nuggets?
No, I love the idea of playing Duck, Duck, Goose where you're all sitting in a row and one person, or you're all sitting in a circle and one person is like, nugget like chicken product, and then you have to run and run.
Oh, wait, the last thing you say is chicken product? Because I can see, I thought you were going to say it was like chicken, nugget, but no, I like yours better.
No,
Bell, ball, boot!
And then you run as fast as you can. Wasn't that the idea? They have to get up and chase you?
Yeah.
And then you run around and you take their seat?
Right. Well, if the person fleeing makes it all the way around the circle, then one thing happens. But if you like catch them and tag them, then something else happens.
Oh, they're out.
They're out.
They're
yeah.
out.
I don't think this is a very good game, honestly.
Nugget.
Yeah, no, that would improve it for sure.
Oh, man. Abby, please put this on the agenda for our next corporate retreat.
That we're going to, the three of us are going to play nugget chicken product? Okay. I'm in.
Okay. Oh, God, I'm recording this episode in my bathrobe, and it's really hot in here.
Oh,
I'm so sweaty.
All right.
Oh, I'm really glad I haven't showered yet.
Yeah, I haven't either. It's one of those mornings. Like, I slept in a little this morning. I, like, dragged myself out of bed. I ate a piece of toast, and now I'm talking about chicken nuggets.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I got up a little earlier than I had intended, and I made coffee, and then I sat in bed and drank my coffee and read a book.
Oh, that sounds great.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. Okay. I never do sensible things like that.
No, that sounds great. That sounds right? like a real Calgon. What was the thing?
Celeste like, pizza Celeste? For one.
Yeah, it sounds real like a real Celeste for one moment.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Our first segment is Spilled Mail. And we have a question from listener Rob who asks, where did you find your theme music and where can I do the same? What is the title of this cute little march? Now, first of all, like, do you think Rob wants to get their hands on our theme music, like, so that Rob can, like, do a knockoff Spilled Milk show?
Of course. I mean, Rob, like, could you be more transparent?
Yeah. So nice try, Rob. But we'll tell you. The song has a very catchy name. It's called Vintage News Medium. And it comes with GarageBand. Yes.
Oh, my God.
So if you have a Mac, this is already on your computer. many other podcasts use it. Periodically, we've talked about the idea of like commissioning a new theme song, but like it wouldn't be better than like the dumb canned music we already have.
No.
So, you can also find it on YouTube if you don't have a Mac. Just search for Vintage News Medium.
Enjoy, listener Rob. We can't wait to hear your podcast.
Yeah, no, make it a deep fake. Like you can cut up old spill. Like at this point, we've done so many episodes of this show that like you could cut them up and make us say absolutely anything. Don't do that.
Matthew, why did you even put that idea out in the world?
But do that if you're going to make us say something hilarious.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Why did you say that, Matthew?
Oh, the thing about how you can cut us up and
yes. And, now they're going to do terrible things to us.
I mean, like anybody who was going to do that already had that idea. They don't need to hear about it from me.
Oh, okay. Fine. Whatever.
All right. Should we meet a cute animal you need to know? You abbreviated this on the agenda, and it never occurred to me to abbreviate it. It's C-A-Y-N-T-K, like canked. Which is pretty fun.
I had to really sit there in front of my computer and be like, cute. Animals,
you. Yeah, first letter is obviously Q for cute.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there you go.
Okay, one comes to us from listener Siri, and it's Nico the baby seal. It's a long video. We're going to put the link in the show notes. It lives at the Toba Aquarium in Mie Prefecture, Japan. I did do a little research check out and make sure this isn't like a SeaWorld like bad aquarium. It seems fine. I queued it up to the best part where they're like, you know, getting Nico like comfortable with like the water, I guess. I don't understand why you would need to like train a baby seal to do that. But anyway, they're like letting the baby seal like splash around in a little bathtub.
Oh my God. It's so cute. I was just looking at the part where it's like rolling around on its back.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Matthew. It's so cute.
Yeah. So listener Siri says,
oh my God.
I know it's kind of an obvious cute animal, but since clicking on this video, I can't help but feel that you indeed need to know him. And you were right, Siri. We need to know Nico the baby seal, and you do too.
Matthew, you need to start the video right around. This is a long video, and I'm just going to put it out there that you should consider starting it. If we can find a way to do the timestamp, let's start it at 5 minutes. Because
okay.
It's getting its face cleaned and it does this little squinty eye thing.
Oh
my God. Yeah, started at 5 minutes and now it's about to roll around.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's so furry. Oh my God. It's little paws. I just want to nibble them.
You know how we've done Day of Perfect Meals? Could we
eat this
like
seal paw? I mean, like, nibble it, not
that's,
actually.
That's not exactly where I was going with this, but
oh,
yeah.
Oh, it's not?
No, I was going to say, could we do, like the Spilled Milk Perfect Petting Zoo, where, like, you come in and you get to pet, like, every cute animal that we've selected. Like, you get to pet Whisper the Stoat. You get to pet a giant river otter, if you want to. Mm-hmm. You get to pet a baby seal. There was some sort of moth.
The rosy maple moth.
The rosy maple moth. There was a fish. Like a little blow puffer fish.
That's right. I can't wait to meet Finnegan Fox.
Yeah, Finnegan, you can yeah. So you just get to like snuggle all these animals at once, including the slimy ones.
Okay, great. It's time for our final segment. Now but wow, stuff we're into. I'm going to go first.
Please.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I follow on Instagram the writer Alexander Chi, and he mentioned somewhere on Instagram, I don't know, but anyway, this account called Chinatown Pretty. It's at Chinatown Pretty on Instagram. And the tagline is celebrating the street style of seniors living in Chinatown. These people have the most incredible style. I aspire to be every one of them. The mixing of patterns, the glasses.
Yes. I just pulled it up.
Are
and
you
this
looking
is
at
the
it?
The greatest. Yes.
Ash, whose dad is from South Korea, has long aspired to have the fashion sense of an older Korean man. And I can't wait to share this with them.
I'm looking at this picture of Sydney Yuen, age 73.
Oh my God.
I love this guy.
Oh my God. I love all of these people. It's incredibly inspiring. Check it out. Chinatown Pretty on Instagram.
I just found the one where someone is wearing a sock that says my favorite salad is wine. Delightful.
These people know how to live.
Yes. All right. My Now But Wow is hosted by Nicole Byer. Is it the new season of Nailed It? No, although I certainly recommend that. Is it her hit podcast, Newcomers? No, it's not that either, although I also recommend that. I love everything Nicole does. No, it's her long-running podcast, Why Won't You Date Me?, which is a fantastic show about modern dating from the perspective of a Black woman. And Nicole gets amazing guests, like all kinds of different people. The show goes into issues of race and gender and size and gets like really deep into that stuff, but it is always funny, like every second of every episode. That is Why Won't You Date Me on all the podcasting platforms.
That is delightful. I'm so glad to know about it. All right, Matthew, I think I'm ready to boot this show out of the nugget box.
All right, let's boot it out of the old nugget box.
Thanks for listening to Spilled Milk. We already did the closing joke. I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton. Also, our producer is Abby Circatel.
Yeah, you can also find us on Reddit.
You know what? Like, yeah, if you want to send us some listener mail, contact at spilledmilkpodcast.com. We have a Reddit subreddit. It's reddit.com/r/everythingspilledmilk. And, you know, it's our show. We can do things in any order we want. We already signed off, so bye.
Oh my God, where did this part of the agenda go?
It's further down.
Where the heck is it?
It's in the section that says, let's go deep on McNuggets.
Okay.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches, but there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.